Now it's 4th and 9. The opponent is TCU, and the Jayhawks need a crucial conversion here. 3 receiver set. Beam back to pass. Throws over the middle. Too tall. Broken up. Lawrence Arnold wanted a flag. None come in.
And unfortunately, that's how the game ended. Jayhawks with the perfect season ruined there as they started 5-0, but they lose to TCU, who is now 13th in the polls, who's still undefeated. 38-31 was the final here. Talk about the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. Well, Brian, there goes the perfect season. Everybody had a lot of money riding on, you know, before the year that KU was going to go 12-0. I'm sure you did. I did. Everybody did. I joke, of course. You know, after 6 games, if you would say KU's 5-1, you'd take that in a hurry, and then considering what all happened to KU, and I want to run through this real quickly with you, my friend, because it is pretty amazing stuff. In this game against TCU, KU fumbled at the 1 when they're going in the score, and it was a 14-point swing in essence as TCU went down and scored to go up 10-0. They had multiple kickoffs out of bounds, gave TCU good field position. There was a miscommunication, I thought, between the receiver and Bean on his interception. It looked like a bad interception, but they just weren't on the same page, in my opinion. You had a 3rd and 8, and Lonnie Phelps jumped offsides. That's the very next play, wide receiver screen, touchdown. Obviously changed the play call for TCU. KU missed a 31-yard field goal. They had a wide-open Neal on the last drive and just overshot him. All those things KU did are big mistakes, obviously, in a close game. But the thing I want to point to is they also lost their starting quarterback for the whole second half. And despite all of that stuff, KU still had a chance with under a minute to play to go tie, or, as I still believe, would have gone for 2 in the win had they scored and tried to win 39-38. So what do you think about all that?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance they would have gone for the win in that instance. But, you know, the way the defense played in the first half, the defense was keeping that going in the second half. Leipold probably would have kicked an extra point.
Yes.
It's not like he's missed a go for 2. But the defense got, you know, pushed around a little bit in that second half. The third quarter was a huge shootout back and forth on both sides. And so I think given everything that KU was up against and the fact that, you know, Bean had kind of emptied his bucket on what he gave us, which was amazing, had they been able to get the tying score or the pull within 1 score, I think they would have gone for 2 to try to win it. You're right. But to see Jason Bean do what he did with over 260 yards and 4 touchdowns in a half,
yeah,
just a brilliant, you know, step up, next man up type effort that honestly not many would have predicted. That's not to say he's not capable of such things. Clearly he is. But, I mean, being pressed into duty, ice cold, against a team as good as TCU, to do something with that offense that had been kind of stuck in the mud going back to the second quarter of the previous game versus Iowa State. We hadn't scored a touchdown, hadn't scored any points, you know, until that field goal, but had scored a touchdown since the 5:25 mark of the second quarter the previous week, and then he comes in and leads them immediately to 4 scores, boom, 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 on 2 beautiful deep balls.
Yeah.
That we saw Quentin Skinner haul in, who is quickly becoming one of my favorite players on the team. We had him on Hawk Talk last night. He said he wants to grow up to be a Sports Center anchor one day, and he just had so much personality. He was great. But to look back on it, you know, it's obviously very disappointing to have a difficult hand dealt to you like that. Losing a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback on the same weekend that ESPN College Game Day comes to town and all these special features are being done on Jalen, and then he goes down with an injury that is going to sideline him for some time. You know, they're saying week to week, and he's doing his progress day by day. But, I mean, this is a significant setback for Kansas, and this could be Jason Bean's team for a good stretch of time here. And so to see what Bean did certainly gives you hope. But to have this happen on a day when otherwise our campus, our university, our football program, our athletic department, all was being celebrated, spotlighted, everything was just golden, you kind of feel a little bit snake bit. Some people have tossed around the word cursed. Let's not go that far just yet. But yeah, this was our day to shine, and we still did. I was so proud walking out of there how well they competed despite that. But to think that they may potentially lose Jalen for an extended period when this was supposed to be Kansas football day across the country, it just kind of breaks your heart for the young man and for the sake of this program, because obviously he had them rocking and rolling. Now you got to have Jason Bean, you know, show more of what he showed in that second half. How sustainable is it? Time will tell. But Oklahoma's defense has been in disarray. if there ever was a team that you know, you could step up and post similar numbers against, it might be this new Oklahoma defense. And so let's hope that keeps coming for Jason Bean back there at quarterback.
Ryan Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. To do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance, stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. I want to talk about Daniels for a moment. I want to talk about his play on the field and then, of course, the situation with his injury. You know, watching him in person, and we had great seats, by the way. I had a great time there and taking it all in, the atmosphere and a sellout crowd, and ESPN game day was a blast. We got there early in the morning. It was really a fun day, and the weather, you couldn't ask for any better weather. It was sunny and 65. It was terrific, just like the song. But, you know, to me, this is just what I saw. And my oldest son, we were talking about it too, he kind of saw the same thing, and that was that it felt to me like Jalen Daniels was – trying to do too much in that first quarter in particular in regards to running the ball. There were times, I mean, there's RPOs where he probably should have pitched the ball, should have handed the ball off instead of keeping it. He ran quite a bit, it seemed like, there in the first quarter. And then there were a couple times when we went to throw, and I thought he did better in the second quarter, no doubt. First quarter, I don't know if he's a little bit nervous. I don't know if he was just wanting to make sure he didn't make a mistake, but I thought he was kind of tentative in regards to throwing the football early in the first quarter, and he was relying on his legs a lot. And then, of course, the fumble at the one, that was one where he's trying to make a play and get in, but it was only second down, so you still have another down after that, but you can't fault the kid for his efforts. And then even diving out of bounds, like he was trying to get out of bounds, it looked like, and then he got hurt there too. And I think that was one of the things you and I talked about last week was, is it possible that when you have all this hubbub and all this going around your program, and this is certainly a marquee event to where, you know, Jalen Daniels is on people's Heisman list or was at that point in time, that do you think, I think it's only natural for kids to maybe try to do a little bit too much or try to make a splash. And they're not being necessarily selfish, but they think that, hey, I can make a play here, I can make a play there. Did you kind of notice that too, or is that our imagination?
No, I think he definitely felt an onus to be special and do some extraordinary things. But probably some of the issues of what you saw in talking to David Lawrence, our color analyst, who sees this stuff much clearer than I ever will. He said he made the wrong reads repeatedly,
yeah,
on the option read of the pitch or keep or where to go with the ball. And that was unlike Jalen, because early in the season when we had it rolling, he was making the right call 90% of the time. And there were several times where he called his own number, maybe trying to do too much, and got stuffed when the pitch man would have had an open lane and that kind of thing. So that was the only observation that David had. And some of that could stem from trying to back up all the hype and all that. But Jalen's not a selfish player by any means. You just can't help but have, you know, a little extra incentive, a motivation to try to be extraordinary when everybody's writing these articles and doing these stories and all that stuff. Again, not rooted in any type of selfishness, just probably trying to be all that he can be to make sure his team wins. I have nothing but just amazing things to say about this kid.
Sure.
It breaks my heart that he's dealing with this injury. But I saw a little bit of that, of maybe, you know, a couple of times having the wrong read. And the fumble, oh my goodness, you know, you talk about ifs and buts, thinking about those 7 points and what a difference that would have made later in the game. But that was a play where, you know, he got twirled around and was kind of backing in, and the ball gets poked out. And like you said, it was early enough in the sequence of downs that, you know, if you just live to fight another down, you probably get it on the very next handoff. But that's been something that's plagued Kansas a couple of times, these red zone fumbles or just outside of the red zone. And they've also had some self-inflicted wounds with fourth quarter penalties. And these are things that are not synonymous with Lance Leipold football, and so they want to get those shored up. And if anything, it shows you how much better they could be if they can clean up some of the self-inflicted stuff, because here they are at 5-1, their only loss was by a touchdown, and some would argue there should have been pass interference or defensive holding on that last highlight that you played to start the show, and maybe they wind up winning it anyway. But this is despite some self-inflicted wounds and despite the fact that you lost your starting quarterback. It's amazing to think what they would be capable of if they were able to play a little bit cleaner right now. So all of these things are correctable. The Jalen Daniels injury is not easily fixable, though, and that's probably where we go next.
Okay, now speaking of that, there was a report that he is out for the season, and Lance Leipold has disputed that in essence on Twitter, and Jalen Daniels, of course, right away says it's news to me. Some other KU players went on social media and said basically that, you know, that's news to them, that's not what they know, and it seems to be an untrue report or a false report. But what do we know about Jalen Daniels' injury right now, and how long do we think he'll be out, or is this truly, as Coach Leipold says, a day-to-day situation?
It's hard to imagine the injury itself being day-to-day, yeah, as we describe day-to-day in NFL terms. Day-to-day in NFL terms is he didn't practice Wednesday, but he might practice Thursday.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a day-to-day situation in that regard. It's probably more week-to-week, but Jalen's individual progress and physical therapy and recovery is day-to-day in the sense that he could get incrementally better one day to the next. But I don't think it's, in week one, a situation where, well, he didn't practice Monday, but let's go see about Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're to that point yet, and we may not be to that point for a while. But you know, week to week is probably more realistic, but I like the fact that this coaching staff and this medical staff is keeping his options open to come back, even though the nature of this injury is such that, you know, some guys would be automatically ruled out. He is a tremendous athlete. He, you know, sometimes certain guys heal quicker and can come back sooner. What scares me a little bit is just the nature of this sport and his position, particularly within this offense, not only to throw the football, but the pounding that you would take, you know, where you could possibly aggravate it if he came back too quickly. And that's why this medical staff is not going to rush him back too quickly. He's got his future to think about. But, you know, they wanted to be very clear that any reports ruling him out were premature, because that's not the way they're looking at it. That's not the way Jalen is approaching it in trying to get back later in the season. And that's not the way his teammates are looking at it. I mean, he's out there practice every day, coaching up the quarterbacks and doing things to stay engaged. And eventually, in the month of November, you know, maybe he's out there doing different things. Who knows? Who knows how quickly things will change here. But in the meantime, he's heavily engaged with his guys. He's not, you know, a captain by designation. That went to Mike Nowitzki and Rich Miller and Sam Burt. But in terms of a voice on this team, he is as loud and influential of a voice as we have. And so to see his teammates like Kobe Bryant on defense step up and say fake news and stuff like that, it's because they're all bought into the notion that don't bet against this guy. We don't know what week he'll come back or what it's going to look like, but Jalen's going to fight hard to still play again at some point this season. And in the meantime, they fully are behind Jason Bean and supporting him, and Jason said all the right things this week too. But I think it was a little surprising to see the back and forth on Twitter the other night,
yeah,
starting with the Zach Boyer article, or not article, but report that turned into articles by other national media outlets. And then the Leipold picture really surprised me.
Yes.
But, you know, that's as much to remind his guys that we're still keeping options open here and keeping our guys engaged with Jalen as it is any type of gamesmanship for Baylor next week or, you know, the opponent, Oklahoma State, that would follow our bye week. I think Oklahoma knew all along that Jalen's not playing this week, all right?
Yeah,
and,
right?
And Coach said as much last night. So folks are like, well, is he posting that to throw Baylor off the scent? Maybe,
yeah,
but probably more than anything, it's belief in the young man and his teammates that, hey, we're not giving up on anything here. We feel like with Jalen Daniels, many things are more possible than they are with most people. And so we're going to give him every opportunity to keep hope alive.
Jason Bean is the starter for Oklahoma coming up on Saturday. If Jason Bean goes down, where does KU turn after that?
Well, then we're in the hands of a true freshman quarterback named Ethan Basco, who's actually, you know, impressed this coaching staff, and they have nothing but good things to say. But you'd be talking about a pretty complex offense with a true freshman running it. They would probably shorten up the playbook a little bit, whereas right now, not a ton changes.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this on previous reports about the subtle intricacies and nuances that make Jason and Jalen different. But by and large, they're both dual threat quarterbacks that can implement almost an identical offense. There will be certain plays they run to get Jalen or rather Jason, different types of throws from different points on the field to accentuate what he's good at. But by and large, not much changes offensively. Ethan Vasco is dual threat as well. Let's point that out. It's not like he's Drew Bledsoe and he's a statue in the pocket back there. But it's definitely different when you're going from a redshirt senior who started 9 games for you a year ago and Jason Bean to a true freshman. No matter how much they love this kid and his future, for the sake of him and this team's bowl hopes, I really hope they can keep Jason healthy. And part of keeping him healthy is, okay, if he takes off to run, get as far as you can get, young man, but get down at the first sign of contact. And you don't want to be so mindful of that you handcuff yourself and you aren't as effective as you could be. But this is, this is a desperate times, desperate measures type situation here, because if you lose him, then it's Ethan Vasco and it's Ben Easters and Andy Kotelnicki needs to go back into the lab offensively and come up with something, really, really junky to try to, muck it up a little bit if that's the case. And that's not to say, I don't want to downplay what Ethan's capable of. It's just, that's a lot to throw at a true freshman. I mean, look at Skylar Thompson in the NFL last week when the emergency quarterback for Miami Dolphins, former K-State Wildcats, Skylar Thompson's pressed in. He's a capable guy, but that's throwing him into the fire in the deep end of the pool right out the gate, And so I hope it doesn't come to that for Ethan. I hope Jason stays healthy. I hope Jalen gets healthy. But that's who would be up next. And it's, we may have had the best backup quarterback situation in the Big 12 given Jason Bean's starting experience and his talents. I'm telling you, Wade, he might be our fastest quarterback since Nolan Cromwell, okay? Mm-hmm. We may have had the best number two. And number three is very talented, but we do not have an enviable QB3 situation as it pertains to experience.
Right.
And is he ready to captain a top 25 team right now? So that's where you really got to hope QB2 stays healthy.
Well, and then, the opponent, of course, is Oklahoma and Norman coming up this Saturday at 11 a.m., pregame at 10:30 on Z96.3 The Lake. And, of course, Oklahoma didn't score any points last week without their starting quarterback Dylan Gabriel, who's a transfer, came in. New head coach Brent Venables, and OU is a wounded animal. There's no doubt about it. They've lost 3 in a row, and I think this is a very dangerous game because I look at the schedule here, and it is odd to talk about this now that we know what we do. Before the season, we never dreamt talking this scenario, but KU's 5-1. You could argue the game at Norman on Saturday is the easiest game remaining on KU's schedule because they go to Baylor, host Oklahoma State, who's a top 10 team right now, at Texas Tech. Host Texas, and Texas will be ready to go for that one, and then at Kansas State to close out the regular season. So it sounds crazy, but it's true, I think, that when you look at the games remaining on the schedule, this is probably the best chance for KU to get that win to be bowl eligible, so why not get it out of the way and start 6-1, go down to Norman, a place that this might be the last time you ever play in Norman if OU leaves a little bit earlier than anticipated. I think many people think they will. And, of course, KU nearly beat them a year ago. Have you heard Brent Venables' comments on his radio show about adversity?
No, I haven't. What did he say?
Okay, I'm going to play this for you. It's 1 minute and see what you think.
For me, challenge everybody. Hey, look, if there's anybody that now would like to tap out, when this is really hard, like most people quit in that marathon about the 20th mile. You're like, man, I thought I could do it. Everybody talks a big game until you're in the middle of it. Now what are you going to do? You're going to keep showing back up with the same attitude, the same mindset, the same work ethic, same commitment, because it does take what it takes. There's no shortcut. There's only one way to get out of, the mud pit that we're in right now. And so I told everybody, every player, every coach, anybody that wants to leave, I'll help you leave. You don't have to come to practice no more the rest of the season. Anybody that you want to chit-chat and you want to, bitch and moan and complain about whatever opportunities you are or aren't getting or what the coach is calling, what system we're in and all this and why are we doing this, why you make me put my suit on, why do I got to go do the alma mater, whatever it is, it's okay. I'll escort you to the door right now. And I won't judge you. I'll make recommendations for you. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'll have your back, all right? But I don't want anybody in here sabotaging what we're trying to do. And you're either all in or you're not. Best is the standard all the time, not when it's convenient and easy.
I love that message, and I think the best coaches give that message. And the reason I want to play that is, one, that program is a wounded animal right now. And as well as anybody, Brian, in sports over the years, that's the most dangerous one. And so there are a lot of people going, okay, OU didn't score against Texas, and OU got beat by K-State, and they gave up 55 to TCU. And even with a backup quarterback, Bean looked great. KU should go into Norman, and they should win. And you and I both know it's not going to be as easy as some people may believe. And, you know, KU went through some of the same things from the standpoint of, oh, obviously last year, hey, it was a 2-10 season. And we see this with lots of programs. Kids transfer when things get tough, or they feel they should be entitled to a position, or untreated unfairly, and they're not on the depth chart as they want to be. And I'm sure Coach Leipold's probably made a similar speech to people before, and probably many coaches have. But I personally love that message. I mean, you're going to have to deal with some adversity, and if you can't deal with it, then here's the door.
Yeah, that was well said, and some of the best stuff I've heard from him. And I'm a little bit empathetic to their situation based on all the guys they lost when Lincoln Riley left, and certainly seeing what they looked like a week ago without Dylan Gabriel back there. Yeah, that's not what we've come to expect out of Oklahoma, and it's wild to think that Oklahoma doesn't have, you know, a second quarterback waiting in the wings that would have given them a chance to be more formidable. But that's, in essence, what the transfer portal has done to college football, with a position as important as QB, with as much attention on QB, and therefore those playing that position have a great sense of self-importance. If you don't win the job, how many times in the last 2 years since the portal became popular and you didn't have to sit out a full year or anything to transfer, how many times have we seen kids jump ship for greener pastures? And you're not keeping guys in programs as long. And so, consequently, not many teams have a proven backup like Kansas has, and Oklahoma clearly didn't. So I can't stress enough how much they're not going to be what you saw last week.
Yeah.
Now that Gabriel is back. He is very, very talented. I was talking with Eric Gilliard, our linebacker, who played with him at Central Florida, and he said, oh, it's a deep ball with him. He is the master of the deep ball throw, and he will make plays happen with his feet to set up, you know, deeper throws by extending the pocket on rollouts, and he can throw, you know, downfield on the move, and does it as good as anybody Eric's seen. And so the team you just saw got beat 49-0 is going to look very different on Saturday. Now, defensively, some of those same issues that got carved up by TCU and Texas could be there.
Yeah.
And I think they are, you know, I hate to say ripe for the picking, but, you know, they're certainly vulnerable right now defensively, to where, you know, they've tried to change a lot. They've been pushing a lot of buttons, pulling a lot of strings, trying to get it to click, and it hasn't. And that's where if Jason Bean can avoid big mistakes like the interception deep in his own end zone or the bad pitch that led to a big loss, if he can avoid those types of plays, the Jayhawks will score points. Mm-hmm. We'll post numbers. The question is, what will our defense do against an Oklahoma offense that will look nothing like it did last week and look very, very much improved with Dylan Gabriel back there? That, to me, is going to be as interesting to see as anything on Saturday.
And Oklahoma will have a week to prepare for Jason Bean. TCU, obviously, preparing for Jalen Daniels. And even though, as you said, the offense doesn't change a lot, it's still a different going up against different quarterbacks. And so TCU obviously had to try to make an adjustment, I'm sure, at halftime, going, okay, what do we got on Bean? Because it looks like Daniels is going to be out. And he was in the second half, and Bean was fantastic. Before we get to late night in the fog real quick, what about this being the last time in Norman? I mean, do you feel like there's a bit of urgency here? Like, this, we almost beat them last year. Even when we weren't very good, we scored a lot of points. So what was a few years ago in Norman? Is there a bit of sense of urgency here? It sounds crazy to say when KU's 5-1, you're worried about being bowl eligible in week 7, but this is a team that if KU plays well, can or should beat, depending on your opinion, but it is more than likely, probably, going to be the last time you go into Norman. And KU hasn't had this type of opportunity to beat the Sooners in Norman for a very, very long time.
I think that means a lot to the fan base. I mean, we go back to 96-97, yeah, the last time the Hawks were beating OU, and certainly down there. And it means a lot to fans like you and me that have watched it for a while. Nobody in that facility is like, oh, man, we got to take advantage of our last trip to Norman, because outside of Quentin Skinner, whose dad played for OU, and a few kids that are from the Red Dirt State that it might mean something to, you know, this is just the next team that stands in between us and bowl eligibility. And for Lance Leipold, sure, he'd love a win there to say he won at Texas and Oklahoma,
yeah,
but I don't think it's any stronger of a motivator than the fact that it would be the sixth win. And whether we get that sixth win in Norman or in Lubbock or in Waco or in Lawrence, wherever it comes, if they can just find a way, you know, and then let come what may after that with Jalen Daniels' prognosis and what the next month and a half look like. If they could just get that sixth and ensure that full extra month of practices, that you know, energy boost and momentum boost for your program and its ascension in the eyes of donors, season ticket holders, all that, by being a bowl eligible team, that more so than anything is what's driving these guys to get that sixth win. And here's hoping, because I agree with you, that they come Saturday. I think this might be your best chance, just based on how vulnerable OU is defensively right now. But that's not to take anything for granted at all. And I do think this team, even with Jason Bean, is good enough to win any of their remaining games. This one just happens to be right here, right now, within reach. And it seems like fairly much in the wheelhouse, unless Gabriel just has a sensational day.
So much excitement last week in ESPN Game Day, two undefeated teams. Now a ton of excitement tomorrow night. I don't know how much sleep you're going to get, Brian, but you want to share with everybody the late night in the fog tomorrow night, tomorrow?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And the way you can watch the broadcast, it's a little bit different this year. They're not doing a full-blown TV broadcast like we have in the past, and the reason being is they really wanted to pack it out. They felt like that was encouraging some folks to stay at home and not turn out for this. And so we're just going to broadcast it on the app only, try to drive traffic to the Kansas Athletics app. It's totally free, no subscription service, just to download the Kansas Jayhawk app. And you'll see the opportunity to watch the ring ceremony live, the banner unfurlment live, and then the play-by-play of the women's and men's scrimmages live as well. And while we're talking about the banner being dropped, we've got a new KU officially licensed commemorative edition coffee table book on the national championship season called Banner Year. And I wrote this and had great contributors like Bill Self writing the foreword and David McCormick writing the afterword. That's available right now at KUBannerYear.com. There's only 10,000 copies in print. It's a limited edition type deal. So we dropped the banner on Friday, and the book comes out 2 weeks later. Really excited about celebrating this team, but then very quickly turning the page to another season of great expectation. And you know, we'll see what the league has to say about who the team to beat is. I know Mike Miles picked up the preseason Big 12 Player of the Year award yesterday over Jalen Wilson. But whether it's TCU, whether it's Baylor, whether it's Texas, a lot of teams want to knock Kansas off that top perch, but is still a preseason top 10 team that Bill Self has. And I'll bet on Bill and good talent any day of the week, no matter what anybody else is bringing back. We got the best coach, that's for sure.
That's a pretty good
bet. Looking forward to a really fun year.
Pretty good bet. All right, off-the-wall questioner Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks. ESPN Game Day, Rob Riggle was the guest picker. So here's your off-the-wall question. Who would be someone you would like to have on with you as a guest during either a play-by-play broadcast or a Hawk Talk situation? And the answer has to be somebody that you've never talked to before, okay?
Well, I'll keep it within the KU family, because they were really close to getting Paul Rudd to be the guest picker, but he had a cameo on Saturday Night Live the other night. I didn't get to see it. He wasn't hosting, but it was a role that he had to be there for the walkthrough. And apparently the SNL walkthrough was 1:30 in the afternoon on set. If you missed the walkthrough, you missed the show. Gotcha. And so that's why he couldn't be the guest picker. But he's hilarious. I loved him as Brian Fantana in Anchorman. I loved him in a lot of his roles. And he just seems like a really down-to-earth, like, chill, cool guy.
Yeah.
So I think he'd be fun to have in the booth. That, just to keep it within a KU realm. I mean, Jason Sudeikis is a Jayhawk fan, too.
Yeah.
I've been a big fan of Ted Lasso, so I suppose that would be fun.
Yeah.
But Paul Rudd was real close to being our guy. I'm glad Rob Riggle did it, though. He did a great job. Didn't get all of his picks right, but certainly represented us first class, as he always does.
My guess was it was going to be Riggle. I just figured, you know, based on his demeanor and the way he'd fit in with McAfee, I thought that would probably be the fit they go with. But I did not know that Paul Rudd was the first choice there before Riggle. Very interesting stuff. Hey, man, I guess get as much sleep as you can. Have a great next 48 hours, and maybe we'll bump into you, Norman, on Saturday.
Sounds good. Safe travels, buddy. We'll see you then.
All right. Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always every Thursday here on The Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.